welcome to the program. Today we conclude our series on understanding salvation. If you do not have the notes and you'd like to have them, they're on our website, www.fairhavensbaptist.net. Right there on the first page, you can click on the button and download the notes on this series. Today we begin on page number 15. Again in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, where Paul said, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Now that word examine, as we said in our previous program, means to inspect in detail, to investigate thoroughly whether you be in the faith. The word prove means to officially agree to or accept as satisfactory. And now what we need to do is to search the scriptures, because we have to be in line with the word of God if we are genuinely saved. We're going to be looking at it in detail. Before we do, listen to this message and song by someone who knows and can sing about the fact that she is saved.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall see. But oh, the joy when I awake within the palace of the King, and I shall see story saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me, and I shall see.
Tell the story.
In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, we read, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." He said, "These things have I written." It also says in the Word of God in John 5 and 39, "Search the Scriptures," Jesus said, "for in them ye think ye have eternal life." Now, he was talking to a bunch of religious hypocrites who didn't have eternal life, who thought they did. But you and I need to be very careful to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, especially in this age when the plan of salvation has been changed, and now what is being promoted is all you need to do is vote for Jesus and you'll go to heaven. And that is a doctrine from the pit of hell. That is simply not true. But what is true? What does the Bible say? Well, Jesus said to the rich Pharisee, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3 and verse number 3. In verse 7, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Now, he was talking to a very religious man. Religion is not the answer. Religion is the devil's counterfeit for the real thing. Peter talked about it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. See, he said, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So what does the Bible say? How do we know for sure if we're saved or not saved? He said, "These things have I written that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." Well, first of all, the Bible says we are all sinners and have come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse number 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Now, we mentioned on a previous program that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, that we, measuring ourselves by ourselves and comparing ourselves among ourselves, are not wise. We're not going to go to heaven because we're better than somebody else. That fellow's real despicable. He's in the drug business, or he's immoral, or he's a terrorist, or whatever. And we're not going to go to heaven because we're goody two-shoes. What we're going to have to realize is everybody, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, to come short, that word has been translated destitute, which means to be without the basic necessities, and just religion is not the answer. All have sinned, number one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, we need to understand there's a price tag on sin. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. Now, the Bible talks about the pleasures of sin, and it talks about the wages of sin. Hebrews 11, 25 talks about Moses, who it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, Moses had to make up his mind. He had no choice but to choose. He could live in that palace. He was in line for the throne. He had it pretty good as far as the world situation is concerned. But he chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But there's two types of death. There's spiritual death and there's eternal death. 1 Timothy 5 and 6 talks about the one who is, it says there, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Jesus said to those that were listening to him when he was here, "You will not come unto me that you might have life." And they laughing at him. "What do you mean life? We got life. Look, I'm breathing here. I'm eating. I'm walking. I'm sleeping. I'm getting up and going around the world. I've got life." No, he's talking about spiritual life. And then he said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 45, he talked about eternal hell. He said about those who would be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. So there's a price tag on sin. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God in hell. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we need to understand there's two different judgments that are referred to in the Bible after we die, and that one is for Christians and one is for Christ rejectors. For Christians, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or bad. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There will be a 7-year tribulation period, and during that tribulation period on this earth, there's going to be what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. Let me read it again. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking to Christians, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or bad. The other judgment is found at the book in the book of Revelation at the end there, verse number 5 of chapter 20, and we read there, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So number one, we're all sinners. Number two, there's a price tag on sin. Number three, that price has been paid. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 said, God commandeth or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he paid the price. So number four, let me go back and repeat that again. Number one, we're all sinners. Number two, there's a price on sin. Number three, the price was paid for at Calvary. Number four, how to be saved. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 16. We could look at several different situations where someone was saved in the Bible, including Paul the Apostle, who is writing most of the scriptures we're reading today. However, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 30, where the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, we're going to pick it up in verse number 22. It says, "And the multitude rose up together against them," that is Paul and Silas, "and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Well, at midnight, Paul and Silas cried and complained and said, "God, why are we having all this?" No, that's not what it says here. Look at it, verse 25. How did they handle this? They've been dragged through the streets. They've been whipped. They've been put in jail. And at midnight, 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. There you go. That's what it means to be a real Christian and to be able to have the power of God when things aren't going right. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I hope when we get to heaven, they have a video room somewhere where we can go and see these stories as they actually happened. I'd like to see this. Well, it says, notice verse 25, the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And we read in verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Supposing the prisoners had been fled. Now, here's a marvelous thing. Verse 28, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are both here." Is that what it says? No, look at 28. That's why we say, or have your Bible ready. "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." None of those prisoners left. Amazing. Why? Because of the testimony of Paul and Silas as they prayed and sang praises unto God, and then God stepped in and we have this little earthquake revival. Well, in verse number 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas and brought them out and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, what we must do, it seems to be the question. You know, Paul asked that question right after the Lord came to him. What wilt thou have me to do? And the only thing we need to do is to repent of our sins. For Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Acts 17:30, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Again, Luke 13:5, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." John 3:15, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Well, what do I have to believe? I have to believe what he said. He said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And so we have the story in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 13, where the man cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so, number one, we are all sinners. Number two, there's a price tag on sin. Number three, the price has been paid at Calvary. Number four, how do we be saved? "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And so finally, we have no choice but to choose. God says in Deuteronomy 30, verse number 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live."
I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.